Here we are on the 26th day of February 2009, and you are?
I'm Ken Neal. I'm here to talk about my early days on the Tulsa World, some of the things I remember. Most of them will be trivial, but they will involve people. That's what I want to talk about a little bit.
At this point in time, your age is?
73, be 74 next fall.
And you were born?
Near Manford, Oklahoma, 1935, in my grandfather's house on an oil lease.
Did you grow up there?
No, my parents were there at the time. They moved shortly after that. We lived at Keystone until 1937, when I was about two. They moved to Sand Springs, Oklahoma, in about 1937. And I grew up in Sand Springs High School.
And then beyond high school?
I went to work for the World in January of my senior year in high school. I was 17. My journalism instructor at Sand Springs had a University of Missouri classmate who was the head of the journalism department at Tulsa. His name was Ed Johnson. My old journalism instructor at Sand Springs was named Ronnie Robertson, and he was the guy that headed me into this crazy business. One day he called me and said, "You better get over to the Tulsa World," said, "they're looking for a copy boy." In those days, TU had several part-time slots. They directed people to the Tulsa World, and the World would hire students for various positions. There was a copy boy, there was a part-time desk job, there was a part-time oil writing job held by students. So they were looking for a copy boy.
In 1953.
January 1953.
You have a recollection of your first day on the job?
Oh, yes. It was a hot day in January, believe it or not. I remember going in, I had on a coat and a wool shirt, and it was kind of hot. So I sat down there and visited with the managing editor at the time, a fellow named Lee Earhart. Lee took some information from me, had me fill out a little form, and said, "When can you go to work?" And I said, "Well, when do you want me?" And he said, "Well, hang your coat up over there." He said, "We need you tonight." So I hung up my coat because it was hot. There was a fellow named Charlie Clark who was the copy boy. He took me around, broke me in over the next couple of days, and all of a sudden, as they would say, I are the copy boy. So that was my introduction to the World. I'll try to describe it a little bit. The old World newsroom was on the third floor. It seemed like a big, bustling place. I look at it now, and it's about, maybe 40 feet wide and maybe 100 feet long, and the entire World operation was there. The wire room was just to the right as you step off the elevators. There were about 20 or 25 teletypes in there. Sports was nearby to the south. The RIM, we called it, which was a copy desk, was right out in that area. The receptionist was close by. The city desk was on to the east of the RIM, and there was a city editor and a copy editor there, and then the reporters were fanned in rows west of there. If I remember right, there were two rows of desk, and you wouldn't believe the furniture of those days. Each desk had a telephone hung on the side of it. The reporters usually shared a phone. Some of the more senior reporters had big desks. Then on back in the back of that was the society section. Then on beyond that was the oil department. Then beyond that was the toilets, by the way, which played a role in some of the things that I did later on. But excuse me, I didn't mean that the way it sounded. The smoke was so thick you could cut it with a knife. Nearly everybody smoked. I was the only guy around there for years that didn't smoke. All of the returns were yellowed with smoke. The police radios were blaring, typewriters were going, the teletypes were chattering, people were yelling at each other. It was a regular cacophony. Adjacent to the newsroom was what we called the composing room, which was where they built and put the newspaper together. There was the entire proofreading department, whose job was to take the galley proofs, compare them to the original copy, and catch errors. There were something like 50 linotype machines out in the composing room. Each linotype had what they called a pot on it. It was molten lead. So they generated a lot of heat. They generated a lot of smoke. So the composing room was smoky also. There were various other functions in the composing room, but I remember that mostly.
You had teletype machines, I guess.
We had about, if I remember right, a total of maybe 15 to 20 teletype machines. It was the copy boy's job to tear the copy off of each one of those machines. AP had a couple of machines. The UP by itself had a couple of machines. INS was still in operation, International News Service, and they had a machine or two. There were machines that specialized out of Arkansas. There was the Oklahoma machine, the Arkansas machine. We had spares for most of them. You could change a roll of paper. The rolls that went in them, each one of them had carbon. You had an original carbon and then a carbon copy, of course, which produced reams of paper and waste. There was one machine out of Arkansas for which we didn't have a spare. And you had to change the ribbon and the paper on that machine with it running, which many times was a real thrill. Yeah, I remember that. This was during a period when you had paper copy, so they were using originally a rolled yellow-looking paste that came in gallon jars, and they kept it down in the basement of the world because it really stank. I mean, it really smelled bad. You know, it's like something real sour and rotten. We had a table in the newsroom, and it was my job to keep the paste resupplied, the paste pots resupplied. They had little brushes where you would pour it out, and then you would paste a head to copy and paste copy together sometimes. Every desk had a paste pot on it. Often the paste pots played roles. Newspaper men had been known to throw them at each other. But
so all this time as a copy boy, you say, I'll tolerate this atmosphere here because I want to write for this paper.
Oh, my God, I didn't even think about that. I was just thrilled to death to be there, what I considered really big time with the newspaper. Well, I'm Sand Springs, Oklahoma, man. I was working on the Sandtonian. And to get to go over to the Tulsa World, I mean, that was newspaper Valhalla for me.
And that was at its present location, too, now.
It was at 315 South Boulder, the same building. Of course, there's been a new building added over on Main now, but the original building is still there. I think they use a third floor for a break room.
So that's the scene of the way it was back then. Putting a newspaper together is a lot different today.
Oh, man. It was page by page, department by department. Paper copy all delivered to the composing room. Set on linotypes, set on hand machines. The type was a galley of type. The galley then were locked into a newspaper chase, big old page chase, locked up, sent to stereotyping where they made a mat. And then that mat was turned in a circular kind of a jig and then lead poured into it, making a reverse. And then you take two of those, lock them on a cylinder on the press, and run it off that way. It's quite a bit different than it is now. By the way, we had a new set of presses that had been installed in 1949. You could see them from Boulder Avenue. You could stand on the sidewalk and see the presses run. It's quite a thing. People would stop and look at the new presses run. We also had the old presses that they had been running the world off on, I guess, since I'm not sure when, but they were very old. They were way down in the basement. They were still functional. That makes me think we ran three editions in those days. The early edition, which we called the Bulldog, went to press about 6:30, came off about 7:30. That was theoretically the street edition. And it was one of my jobs to go down and get the first copies off the Bulldog, take them back up to the newsroom, where they started building then what they called the Midnight Edition, which went to press, I guess, about 11:30, came off around midnight, and that was theoretically, and actually, I guess, was the mail copy, or the state edition, the papers that we trucked out all over the state. Then that edition was reworked. The paper would be remade. The state emphasis would be taken off. Generally, the local copy, let's call it, substituted for Tulsa consumption. The final home, we called it, started running 1:30 or so, and they ran off the final copies that were for distribution inside the city of Tulsa, delivery to homes and so on.